What's your problem? Bradley said. I mean, look. You don't seriously believe everybody on the planet should do whatever they want, do you? That would be terrible. These people need help and guidance.
And you're the one to give it? To these people?
Okay, so it's not politically correct to talk this way. But do you want all these people to have the same horrific, wasteful living standard that we do in America, and to a lesser extent Europe?
I don't see you giving it up.
No, Ted said. But I conserve where I can, I recycle, I support a carbon-neutral lifestyle. The point is, if all these other people industrialize, it will add a terrible, terrible burden of global pollution to the planet. That should not happen.
I got mine, but you can't have yours.
It's a question of facing realities, Bradley said.
Your realities, not theirs.
At that point, Sanjong beckoned to Kenner.
Excuse me, Kenner said, and got up.
Walk away if you want, Bradley said. But you know I speak truth.
He gestured to the flight attendant and held up his glass.
Just one more, sweetie. One more for the road.
Sanjong said, The helicopter's not there yet.
What's the matter?
It was coming over from another island. They've closed the airspace because they're worried the rebels have surface-to-air missiles.
Kenner frowned. How long until we land?
10 minutes.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Abandoned, Ted Bradley slid to the other side of the plane to sit with Peter Evans.
Isn't it gorgeous? He said. Look at that water. Crystalline and pure. Look at the depth of that blue. Look at those beautiful villages in the heart of nature.
Evans was staring out the window, but saw only poverty. The villages were clusters of corrugated tin shacks, the roads red mud ruts. The people looked poorly dressed and moved slowly. There was a depressing, disconsolate feeling about them. He imagined sickness, disease, infant death.
Gorgeous, Bradley said. Pristine. I can't wait to get down there. This is as good as a vacation. Did anyone here know the Solomons were so beautiful?
From the front, Jennifer said. Inhabited by headhunters for most of history.
Yes, well, that's all in the past, Bradley said. If it ever existed at all. I mean, all that talk about cannibalism, everybody knows it's not true. I read a book by some professor. There never were any cannibals anywhere in the world. It's all a big myth. Another example of the way the white man demonizes people of color. When Columbus came to the West Indies, he thought they told him there were cannibals there, but it wasn't true. I forget the details. There are no cannibals anywhere. Just a myth. Why are you staring at me that way?
Evans turned. Bradley was talking to Sanjong, who was indeed staring.
Well?
Bradley said.
You're giving me a look. Okay, buddy boy, does that mean you disagree with me? You're truly a fool,
Sanjong said in an astonished voice.
Have you ever been to Sumatra?
Can't say that I have.
New Guinea?
No. Always wanted to go. Buy some tribal art. Great stuff.
Borneo?
No, but I always wanted to go there, too. That Sultan, what's his name? He did a great job remodeling the Dorchester in London.
Well, Sanjong said, if you go to Borneo, you will see the Dayak longhouses where they still display the skulls of the people they killed.
Oh, that's just tourist attraction stuff.
In New Guinea, they had a disease called kuru, transmitted by eating the brains of their enemies.
That's not true.
Gaidashek won a Nobel Prize for it. They were eating brains, all right.
But that was a long time ago.
60s, 70s. You guys just like to tell scare stories, Bradley said,
at the expense of the indigenous people of the world.
Come on, face the facts. Human beings are not cannibals.
Sun Jung blinked. He looked at Kenner. Kenner shrugged.
Absolutely beautiful down there, Bradley said, looking out the window. And it looks like we're going to land.